Well, the justification for confusing, chemicalising and castrating our children in the name of gender ideology is crumbling before our eyes. And a major report out of the UK last week has all but nailed the coffin shut on a grand social experiment on our children that should never have happened. But New Zealand still sleepwalks its way through the issue because the Ministry of Health and Te Whatu Ora, which is the body that replaced the 20 DHBs, they're working with radical activists, and the politicians are either turning a blind eye or they've been captured by the ideology. So let's check this issue out, and especially this massive report from the UK. So according to a report in the Daily Wire, Britain's National Health Service, NHS, will review all transgender medical treatment in the wake of a highly anticipated review that found such treatment is built on weak evidence. The landmark final report released last week by paediatrician Dr. Hilary Cass is the result of a major independent review on children and gender identity commissioned by the NHS back in 2020, 4 years ago. And Cass is a former president of the Royal College of Paediatrics and Child Health. Now, here are some of the key points from the review, all 388 pages of it. And Dr. Cass said, quote, "The reality is that we have no good evidence on the long-term outcomes of interventions to manage gender-related distress. The evidence we do have for gender medicine is built on shaky foundations." And she also said this: "Puberty blockers should no longer be prescribed to children except in the context of research due to these powerful drugs' effects on brain development and bone health. Cross-sex hormones, estrogen and testosterone should be prescribed to trans-identifying 16 and 17-year-olds only with an extremely cautious approach, and there should be a clear clinical rationale for not waiting until the teen is 18. The report also warns that children who are referred to gender services present with high rates of abuse and neglect, including sexual abuse and parental substance abuse." Now, her earlier research had already led to a decision by NHS, which is the Ministry of Health in the UK, to stop prescribing puberty blockers to children. And now this new research recommends extreme caution before prescribing cross-sex hormones, that's masculinizing and feminizing hormones, to under 18s. And in one of the interviews with Dr. Cash, she talks about the accompanying mental disorders that include the gender confusion, and also the effect of social media encouraging the confusion.
"These young people are not dramatically different from other young people in terms of the fact that we've got significant increases in poor mental health amongst young people, particularly amongst girls. And so this population in some ways reflects that. But also there are more neurodiverse young people in this cohort. But also pressures and stresses on young people have changed. The whole social and media environment is different. This is the first generation that's grown up with social media from very early on. And obviously there's been a lot of media coverage, as you know, about online harm. The Children's Commissioner report about early exposure to pornography. And I think all of that, you know, is potentially having an impact. And then finally, this generation of young people just have a different and much more flexible perspective about gender expression, gender identity, which is good because it breaks down some of those gender stereotype boundaries. But that doesn't necessarily mean you have to medicalize how you express your gender identity."
Yeah, exactly right. And the NHS released a statement on the CAS review a day after its publication, detailing the actions it will take in response. They said they're going to review all transgender treatment it provides, including to adults, and all new treatment for 16 and 17 year olds will be paused immediately. In fact, all minors, it will be paused. Now, The Guardian, which is a strongly left-wing paper, even decided to report on what CAS had said. And the article said the available evidence is poor. Her efforts to conduct a vital and comprehensive study into the outcomes of all 9,000 children and adolescents treated at the Tavistock and Portman Gender Identity Development Service Clinic between 2009 and 2020 were thwarted. Did you hear that? She wanted to do research on the outcomes for 9,000 former Tavistock patients. This is where all the transgender treatment happened. But guess what? That had been blocked by the adult gender clinics, who refused to contact former patients for their permission on her behalf. What are they covering up? She also said clinicians have become fearful. Medical professionals experienced a sense of fear of being called transphobic if you take a more cautious approach. And she reiterated that in another media interview.
It's definitely the case that ideology on all sides has directed care rather than care being directed by normal principles of pediatrics and mental health. I mean, certainly professionals are afraid to do the things that they would normally do in any other consultation with a young person, and that can't be right.
No, it's not right. And she said, biology hasn't changed in the last few years, so it's not that that's changed things. We do have to think very seriously about the impact of social media, not just in terms of influencers, but about the effect of long hours on social media. She said there was some very dangerous influencing going on. Some of them give very unbalanced information. Some were told parents would not understand, so that they had to actively separate from their parents or distance their parents. All the evidence shows that family support is really key to people's well-being. Well, are you surprised by any of this? No, I'm not either. The report also said the evidence base on the care and treatment of young children and young people was often misrepresented and overstated in public discourse, social debate, and scientific publications. Sorry, not that slide just yet. The overuse of medication in individuals under 18 presented more unknown than clear benefits. There was a lack of long-term follow-up data. And in this one I showed, the rationale for the use of puberty blockers is still unclear. There is weak, poor evidence of its impact on gender dysphoria and mental or psychosocial health. The effect of on cognitive and psychosexual development also remains unknown. For most young people, a medical pathway, i.e. a medical transition, will not be the best way to manage their gender-related distress. Even for young people where a medical pathway is clinically suggested, it isn't enough and does not negate the need to address wider mental health and psychosocial challenges. And finally, young people facing gender-related distress had no significantly different levels of suicide risk to other young people with similar levels of complex presentations. No evidence that gender-affirming treatment reduces the suicide risk. Wow. The whole child transgender narrative is exploding in the activists' face. And there will be many school leaders, Ministry of Education policy wonks, and politicians and media who need to publicly apologise, both to the country, but also to the children who have been victims of this sorry saga. Now, Dr. Cass was interviewed by the British Medical Journal, and I want to show you just a couple of excerpts from the interview. Firstly, around the issue of puberty blockers.
What did your review find on puberty blockers?
Still very poor evidence. One of the problems is people are really unclear about why they're giving them, and I think this is why we've got into this difficult situation.
What do you mean by that? Okay,
so original reasoning.
Yeah.
Help young people pass in adult life. I'll come back to that.
Yeah.
By time to think, the vast majority of young people who go on to puberty blockers continue on to masculinizing or feminizing hormones. So it doesn't seem to be buying time to think. And what we don't know is if you need your surges of sex hormones to work out who you are, to work out your sexuality, and also to help with your brain development, and we arrest that. Then have we somehow changed the trajectory for that young person? We just don't have the knowledge of what it's doing. So that's number one problem.
So just to clarify, you're saying the evidence, what does the evidence show of people who've had puberty blockers in terms of their outcomes? So I know it's not a strong evidence base,
no,
but what do you conclude from it?
Well, the vast majority will go on to masculinizing or feminizing hormones,
yeah,
98% in the UK study.
So you're on a pathway?
Yeah.
Ah, so puberty blockers predicts transgendering, not pauses it, as activists like Partha and Dr. Sue Bagshaw and others always try to claim. And so Dr. Cass was asked for a summary of the research in this area.
Buying time to think, no evidence that it does. Helping you pass in adult life, well, potentially if you have them very early in this very narrow group, but most of the young people are presenting too late for that.
Okay.
Improving their gender dysphoria, their body image, no evidence for that.
Okay.
Improving their psychological well-being, weak positive findings in the original Dutch study, not replicated, and in fact in the UK study some people got worse.
Gee. Okay, so were there any high-quality studies?
I mean, you've looked at the studies around this particular question. Are any of them high-quality?
I'm pushed to think of any that are really high-quality because they're difficult studies to design because you can't blind people. But in part, the biggest weakness is the length of follow-up. I think if one can somehow take down the absolute belief that if you don't get onto puberty blockers, I mean, don't forget these young people have sat on a waiting list and they feel that if they don't say the right thing to get on the puberty blockers, you know, all is lost. Yeah. They're coached on what to say and what not to say. They're told, you know, not to say that they're unsure about their sexuality, not to say that they've been abused, because it's so high stakes for them at that point. So long as they can feel reassured that, you know, you're not abandoning them because you're not putting them on puberty blockers at that moment, they're not going to not be able to transition later in life if that's the right thing for them.
Yeah, now remember that the activist groups say that this is all evidence-based. Well, it's a complete and utter lie. But what about the social transitioning, which many schools do, even behind the backs of parents, and encouraged to do that by the Ministry of Education? Preferred pronouns, uniform, change name, toilets and changing rooms.
There's a very small group of young people who have socially transitioned in childhood at a very early age. Whether that was the right call or not, we won't know in hindsight, but by the time somebody has been socially transitioned from when they are 3 or 4 and they're approaching puberty and they're in stealth, i.e. their classmates don't know, then they are in a state of real fear about puberty and real fear about being found out. And for those, it's potentially very hard to suggest that they go through their own biological puberty. But we should still, if they do go onto puberty blockers, that should still be done in the course of a trial.
Yeah, a fear of puberty. It's very sad. So let's sum up the report. The groundbreaking report reveals that mental health therapy is the best approach for gender dysphoric children, rather than rushing to put them on hormones or puberty blockers or performing mutilating and irreversible surgeries. And Dr. Cass's report also warns that if children are permitted to make choices to physically and socially conform with their gender of choice, rather than receiving the necessary treatment for their underlying mental health issues, they will experience significant negative psychological repercussions. In other words, what we've been saying all along, watch for waiting, because most of them will grow out of the gender confusion if they're allowed to go through puberty. And puberty is a human right. It's time for biological health, not ideological stealth. So, what was the New Zealand response? Well, the radical activist group PATHA, Professional Organisation for Transgender Health Aotearoa, definitely not professional, which is completely aligned with the completely discredited WPATH group, said this. This review ignores the consensus of major medical bodies around the world and lacks relevance in an Aotearoa context. Well, if the review looked at informed consent, both parents and children, social transitioning, puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and castration, which it did, then it certainly applies to Aotearoa. PATH are an illegitimate group of gender activists and the new government should ignore them. But where's the government on all of this? Well, as we know, Chris Luxon, the Prime Minister, and ACT leader David Seymour voted for the conversion therapy ban, which was effectively a pro-transing bill and criminalises parents and others who say, wait a while, and affirm their son is a boy and their daughter is a girl. But one of the key players in the government will be Mental Health Minister and Associate Minister of Health, Matt Ducey, who also supported the gender conversion therapy bill. Have a watch of what he said during the passing of this bill.
I also stand here as someone who's a proud father of two young children, a boy and a girl, and I do look forward to celebrate their sexual orientation, their gender identity that they will decide, and someone who grew up in a faith-based community and still goes to church. Mr. Speaker...
Oh, wow. Can't wait to celebrate my young children's sexual orientation and their gender that they decide. Going to decide on their own gender. Do you think he's going to agree with the CAS report? Now, he was asked his view only because he was on a political panel in Christchurch on Newstalk ZB, so he couldn't avoid the question. But here's what he said when asked about this report. And he said, well, it's all about homophobia and transphobia, apparently, and we shouldn't talk about it because children are watching.
The Ministry of Health has come out and said they're going to release the evidence brief next week. Look, let's be very clear, and I'm calling for a calm and respectful debate around this. Our young people are going to be watching this debate.
Right.
It's very easily filled with rhetoric around homophobia, transphobia, and I think, as Megan has alluded to, people from our rainbow community, especially our young people, are overrepresented in our suicide statistics and our mental health statistics. So we need to have a very considered debate. The debate is quite right, clearly after the NHS pause, but let's be clear what the NHS are saying. They are saying that prescriptions now for puberty blockers for young people who are gender dysphoric will continue under clinical trials. And why the young people are being put in clinical trials is because they are saying there isn't enough evidence to ascertain the effectiveness. And I think that is a robust discussion to be had. There is also a question around the reversibility of puberty blockers. And I think that is an important debate to be had. And
it's
also about when a young person accesses this treatment. Because, of course, you know, there are some young people who experience gender dysphoria at a very young age. They are ostracized early, sometimes from their own family. So this isn't an easy decision for some young people. So,
yeah, a discussion to be had, apparently. Reversibility of puberty blockers. A debate. Really? Didn't hear any of that during the conversion therapy debate. It was just shut down. In fact, we had a look at Matt Ducey's voting record. Voted for conversion therapy ban for all the amendments designed to make it less radical, such as parental consent, allowing prayer, allowing the expression of prayer. He didn't even show up for those amendments to be voted on. He also voted for euthanasia, voted for the appalling abortion bill. So that's a concern as to one of the key people in government. Now, this week, the Ministry of Health is releasing a review of puberty blockers. And as part of the process, they will be updating the guidelines. Now, guess who Te Whatu Ora, Health New Zealand, remember the group that replaced all the 20 DHBs and is the operational part of the Ministry of Health, guess who they've contracted to write up the new guidelines, which are due in August? It's actually a sick joke. They have contracted none other than PATH. who is PAATHA. It's a group of trans activists formed in 2018. They opposed conversion therapy, so they wanted the ban. They wanted to practice conversion therapy on kids. I mean, it's ironic, isn't it? They want to encourage kids towards transgenderism. One of the leads is a transgender woman, a member of WPATH, one of the authors of the latest revision of the WPATH standards of care. One is a trans advocate and non-binary trans woman who wrote the media release responding to the CAS report that we just saw. Another is a trans man and registered nurse. We've got a transgender activist from Rainbow Youth who's studying an accounting degree. A trans and WPATH standards of care version 8 certified clinician. A trans man who's overseeing counting our cells research. A trans man working at the Auckland Sexual Health Service. A trans man who is a New Zealand Human Rights Commission's advisor on sexual orientation, gender identity and expression and sex characteristics, and a they them who is co-chair of the PAATHA advocacy committee and, get this, co-chair of Te Whatu Ora's gender affirming primary care advisory group. Yep, we've got a good group there, haven't we? But an activist co-chairing Health New Zealand's advisory group. Look, here's the countries. I looked up the countries around the world and the states in the US that have either stopped transing the kids with chemicals and pronouns or are in the process of doing it and reviewing it. We've got Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland, England, Netherlands, France, Italy, and 23 US states. Not exactly conservative countries, in fact, very liberal. In fact, the Dutch are the ones who pioneered the whole puberty blockers cross-sex hormones track. The house of cards is crumbling. And New Zealand has been practicing conversion therapy on our children. It's called transgender affirmative treatment. Confusion, chemicalization, and castration, often behind parents' backs. It's time to stop this atrocious social experiment on our children. And have a read of the full CAS report if you have time. Now, just to finish, on a slightly lighter note, here's a recent interview from UK's Talk TV where a guest comes on to talk about the CAS report, but immediately, right at the beginning, reminds the interviewer about her personal pronouns. I'll leave you with this.
Good afternoon to you, Shivani.
Good afternoon, Julia. Thanks. You know my pronouns, are they, them? How are you doing?
Yeah. Thank you for telling me your pronouns. I use correct grammar, so the only thing I would need to refer you to is to your face would be you, but I'm not being rude. You can choose your pronouns. You can choose what you want to call yourself, but you don't get to require me to use incorrect grammar and factually incorrect things. You're not a plural. You're a one person, and you're a female person. So I will use she and her. Thank you very much.
Do what you like, I guess.
Well, there you are. You didn't need to tell me then, did you?
Maybe I'm just making sure people know in case they're watching and they want to refer to me respectfully.
Is it disrespectful for me to use correct factual grammar?
It's not incorrect or unfactual grammar to use singular they them pronouns for an individual. But we're here to talk about the CAS review.
Yeah, but you chose to bring it up.
You chose to use the incorrect pronouns for me.
I chose to use the correct pronouns for a single woman who is appearing on my show.
I'm not a single woman though. I'm a very special non-binary trans person, as you just pointed out.